It's unfortunate that one of the most blessed teachings about the Holy Spirit has been a source of confusion for so many people. The baptism of the Holy Spirit places all who believe in Jesus into a new community, a fellowship of those indwelt by the Spirit as evidence of their new birth in Christ. Some see the baptism as a special anointing whose mark is speaking in tongues. Today, what the Bible says. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. We now continue a 10-part series on When the Spirit Has His Way. Dr. Lutzer comes now with a message on the gift of community.
Would you join me, please, as we pray together? Father, we ask very specifically that you will help us to understand what Jesus meant when he said, I in them and thou in me and they in us. Help us to understand that terminology in a new way and pray that it will be transforming for us as the Holy Spirit of God has his way. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Perhaps you've not heard of the names Ira and Ann Yates, but they were a couple in the 1920s who lived in West Texas, and they were on a farm that was not doing very well at all. In fact, they wondered whether or not they'd be able to pay their mortgage. And so they were having hard times, wondering whether or not they'd have to give up their land because of the financial pressure that they experienced. But on a whim, Mr. Yates decided to invite the Transcontinental Oil Company to come to their farm and drill to see whether or not they had any oil. Well, as it turns out, 1,000 feet down under the ground, they discovered one of the greatest caches of oil that has ever been found here in the United States. It's my understanding that it is so. Millions and millions of barrels. In fact, I checked it on Wikipedia this past week, and if I read it correctly, they still are pumping oil out of this gusher. What a marvelous find beneath the soil. As I think about that, I can't help but think that we are sitting on tremendous wealth, the wealth of the Holy Spirit and the freedom of his ministry. What a tragedy it is if we find ourselves spiritually poor, unable to function, and not understanding and entering into the blessed work of the Holy Spirit of God, whose intention is to help us, transform us, and make us the kind of people that we ought to be. I've been reading the book of Acts this week, and I come across phrases like this, and the early disciples walked in the fear of the Lord and the comfort of the Holy Spirit. I meditated on that phrase, the comfort of the Holy Spirit, or one like this, and the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. And of course, we know, as we shall discover, that one of the most indisputable marks of the work of the Spirit is joy. Indeed. Let me ask you a question, because this series of messages is not intended to simply fill your mind with truth. Let me ask you a question. If you've been here before and you've been listening to these messages, have you connected with the Holy Spirit of God this week? Is there something that you did this week that is attributable not to your natural talent and ability, but something happened because the Holy Spirit of God worked in you? I like what Jim Cimbala says. When we walk in the Spirit, he says, we are able to do that which is beyond ourselves. And today we're going to learn that the Holy Spirit wants to do something in us that is very much beyond ourselves. The title of this message is actually The Gift of Community. And that might seem like a strange topic in light of the fact that what I want to do is to speak to you today about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But it won't be long in this message until you will see the direct connection between the baptism of the Holy Spirit and community. Community communing with Christ and with one another. That's what the baptism is all about, as we shall discover when we open God's Word. And I have to say that when I talk about the baptism of the Spirit, unfortunately, there's a lot of confusion and a lot of misconceptions in people's minds about it. And there are two reasons for that. Number one, because oftentimes it is confused with the filling of the Holy Spirit. So somebody who really has an experience with God and God's intimacy is upon them and they experience the Holy Spirit in a new way, sometimes they talk about it as being the baptism of the Spirit. The famous evangelist Dwight L. Moody, who founded this church so many years ago, I believe that he used that terminology. Moody said that he was walking one day in New York City, and it seemed as if the Holy Spirit came upon him so powerfully that he went to some friends and asked if he could be in a room alone. And he said, as a result of that, he said, his ministry was changed as he had unbelievable intimacy with God. And I believe, I didn't check it, but if I remember correctly, he called it the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I think Moody would have been more accurate if he had called it the filling of the Spirit or renewing the filling of the Spirit, because the terminology can get a bit confusing. Then let me say that another reason why people are confused about it is because it is so often associated with tongues and speaking in tongues, and you can understand why. In Acts chapter 1, Jesus said in verse 5, "The Holy Spirit shall baptize you not many days from now." And then you read Acts 2 and discover that they're speaking with tongues, and so people say, well, it was really the baptism of the Spirit. Now, what I'm going to do in the next few moments, please pay very careful attention, because we are going to look at this biblically, and you must understand, before we get to the implications, which are really huge and momentous and involve you and me, we just need to do a little bit of spade work regarding terminology. When the Holy Spirit of God, and you, if you have your Bibles, would you turn to Acts chapter 2, because we're going to be beginning there. In Acts chapter 2, that remarkable chapter. But what you must understand, even as you turn to it, is this, that when the Holy Spirit came at the day of Pentecost, there were many different ministries of the Spirit. The disciples certainly were baptized by the Holy Spirit. They were filled with the Spirit, and no doubt they also received the sealing of the Spirit, which we're going to discuss in another message in this series. They received all of that. So please keep in mind, we just must keep the ministries of the Spirit separate and use biblical terminology. Now with that, notice in Acts chapter 2, it says this, "When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place, and suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind and filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as of fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." Now, you'll notice that if anything, the filling of the Spirit is what produced the tongues, not the baptism of the Spirit. Now, we know that the Spirit of God baptized them at that point, and in a few moments I'll tell you what that looked like and what that is, but for now, just notice it says they were filled with the Spirit. So if anything, it isn't the baptism that produces tongues, it's the filling that produces tongues, the filling of the Spirit. We must keep these ministries distinct. Now, I referred to this passage in an earlier message, and I don't want to go over that material again, except to say this. As some of you know, I believe that we can show from the New Testament that this special gift of tongues was a special gift at that time, showing that from now on, the gospel is going to go to all the different Gentile nations, and that these were actual languages that people spoke. If you read the next few verses in Acts chapter 2, you'd discover that all the dialects are actually mentioned from the different countries of the world. And so I believe that this gift, which was exercised in this transitional period in the first century, it's interesting that it always is connected with showing that the gospel is going no longer simply to the Jews, but to the wider culture. And that was its dramatic purpose. But it is interesting that after the transition is made, the gift of tongues basically dies out all throughout the centuries of church history, but it reappears early in the 20th century as something entirely different. Now it isn't languages that are spoken, it is an ecstatic utterance, it is some kind of heavenly language, it's not an actual language that linguists could translate, it's something else. And from there on, you have different versions. There are those who say that they go into this trance, they don't know what they're saying. Others say that it is something else that they do know they're saying. That is a huge discussion. And whether or not that really is the biblical gift of tongues or something else, I'm not prepared at this point to go into that discussion, except to say that the New Testament gift was actual languages. This appears to be something quite different. So the point is this, though, don't miss it, that at the day of Pentecost, clearly they were baptized by the Spirit, because Jesus predicted they would be, and they were also filled with the Spirit, and as I mentioned, very probably, obviously, also sealed with the Spirit. All those ministries took place on that very, very special day. Now, with that background, what we're going to do is to look at the most important verse in the New Testament on the baptism of the Holy Spirit.
Well, this is Pastor Lutzer, and as you've heard me say many times, we are aware that there is controversy regarding the doctrine of the Holy Spirit. And if you listen to this series of messages, you will know that answering those kinds of controversies is not a great emphasis in these messages. But I do from time to time refer to these controversies to help us to think clearly about the doctrine of the Holy Spirit. What I want you to do is to recognize that the Spirit has been given to us as a divine gift, that He is entirely personal, that we can develop a relationship with the Spirit, we can learn to walk in the Spirit. You say, "Well, Pastor Lutzer, but I am so weak." That's exactly why we need to walk in the Spirit. It's for you as a believer. At the end of this broadcast, you'll be given information as to how these messages can be yours. Meanwhile, if you'd like to be able to connect with us and let us know what this broadcast means to you, you can use our email address, media@moodychurch.org. That's media@moodychurch.org. Thanks in advance for your love, for your prayers, for your support. Together we are making a difference, and I hope that you'll be back here next time. God bless you.
Dr. Erwin Lutzer, introducing The Gift of Community, the fourth of 10 messages on When the Spirit Has His Way. Tomorrow, more on whether speaking in tongues is a valid gift in the church today. This 10-part series will be sent on CD as our thank you when you give a gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Ask about When the Spirit Has His Way. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. For Dr. Erwin Lutzer, this is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.